Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the November 8, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners Credit Committee. This is also being made available via live teleconference for public access. CJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this combined in-person and telephonic meeting.
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view today's agenda and information on each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman of the Credit Committee, Kevin Orth, will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioners and staff, please state your name each and every time prior to speaking. And with that, I will turn it over to Committee Chairman Orth to call the meeting to order.
Great. Thank you, Corinne. It is now 9:37, and I call the Credit Committee meeting to order. Carol, would you please take roll call?
Sure. Commissioner Fryer.
Here. Yes, rather.
Committee Chairman Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Designee.
Here.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll jump into agenda item one, which is approval of minutes. We have two here, first of which is the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on August 9th, 2023. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Great. Any comments about the minutes from this meeting? Hearing none. Great. Corinne, would you please take a vote?
Yes. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on August 9th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 3 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Great. Thank you. Now on to the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on October 11th, 2023. Have a motion, please, for this.
Yes. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the Credit Committee meeting held on October 11th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Any say nay. With 3 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Thank you. Agenda item 2 is recommendation for revised firm approval of tax exempt financing for Burnin Mills located in Woonsocket. Seth will be presenting.
Topic is Burnin Mills, and a developer is a joint venture between Risa Venture LLC and ABC Communities, who is the development arm of Atlanta Capital. Project previously received approval in June 2023 for $13 million in tax-exempt financing to go along with previously approved BHRI, Housing Production Fund loan, Capital Magnet Fund loan, CRP grant, and development of affordable housing funding. This request is for a revised firm commitment of the tax-exempt financing up to $4.5 million. The original proposal was to rehab the residential buildings and create a land condo to rehab the non-residential buildings in the future. Since the developer purchased the property within the last 2 years, the condo structure would require an additional sale at closing to the new partnership, which would then violate the LIHTC 10-year hold rule and require the development from acquisition credit, which would create a gap of about $1.1 million. By abandoning the condo structure and adding the non-residential buildings to the current scope, an additional sale is not required, solving the issue for the 10-year hold rule. Since some of the non-residential buildings can be included in LIHTC basis to generate additional tax credits, additional tax-exempt financing is required to meet the 50% bond test. The total development cost for residential was increased from $27 million to approximately $29 million. The increase is due in large part to additions to acquisition and deferred developer fees, which generate additional LIHTC credits and federal historic credit. This indicator is Alliant Capital and is projecting 94.5 cents per credit. The developer has secured construction and permanent financing through Bank of America. Bank of America will provide cash collateral to support Rhode Island Housing Construction Loan and, upon conversion, purchase the tax and bond issued to Rhode Island Housing. The permit loan will be non-recourse to Rhode Island Housing with Bank of America assuming all financial risk. This project conforms with Rhode Island Housing's underwriting standards with the exception of the bridge loan test, but the cash flow loan is the minimum required to meet the 50% bond test to generate 4% tax credits. That's your answer. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much, sir. Can I have a motion on this item, please?
So moved.
Thank you.
Stephen.
Thank you very much, Jeff. All right. Any comments or questions about this transaction?
No.
Great. Seth, thank you for the explanation about the 10-year hold. Without getting too much into the weeds on that one, I've been there. I guess is Tax Credit Council okay with this, and particularly with since they acquired it almost 2 years ago? I know the clock is ticking on that.
Yeah, so in this case, actually, Alliant Capital, the syndicator, their counsel is actually the one that flagged this originally. So it sounds like now that they've restructured in this way, everyone's comfortable.
Okay. And we are assumed since they are. Is that okay? Okay. And then one other, let's see. Go ahead. Maybe more than one other. You didn't speak to the total development costs, which are now $480,000 net of reserves. There's no longer, I guess, prevailing wage either. So how are we justifying these costs?
Yeah, so we kind of ratcheted it down a little bit because of the 40, so it's, we are showing the residential. In the grand scheme of things, you know, two of the things that they did was obviously they increased the developer fee to generate additional tax credits, and they increased the acquisition to generate additional tax credits as well. So if you were to pull those out, you know, the per unit gets down to $446,000 per unit. You know, some of the things that happened since our last approval is, you know, the senior lender has certain thresholds that they have for certain line items, so soft costs went up a decent amount for, like, environmental, for soft cost contingency. They have certain thresholds that have to be met cost-wise to be a little more conservative on, like, a historic mill conversion. So that's a lot of the main issues why the costs kind of are what they are now.
Well, I guess my question, though, is do we feel it's justified, and do we have the support?
Sure, yeah, I can jump in. This is Ann. Yes, we do have the appraisal justifies the acquisition. We went back and actually compared this to a couple of recent mills, the most recent one being Millrace. It's actually a couple of dollars less expensive than Millrace, and I think it just goes to the type of construction this is. This mill is in really bad shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to done historic structures, you know, when you have to meet the requirements of the historic, the National Park Service in order to generate the historic credits, it can get a little, it's more expensive. So, we are comfortable. Our design and construction has gone through this with a fine-tooth comb. Closing calls are in process, and it's a cast of thousands because of the structure, and it's on track to close in mid-December.
Okay. Great. And just one other question. I believe we went over this before when this came up before, but the debt service coverage is relatively high, which we normally like to see, but since we're throwing all these soft funds into the project, is that justified? And are we getting 50% of the excess?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
This is Anna, and I would say, because we talked about that internally, it's a requirement of Bank of America. That's the way they're underwriting the transaction. So.
Did a 170 or 180 debt cover?
I think between the Alliant, their syndicator, and Bank of America, that's what they're requiring. I would say that this is an income averaging deal, right? So we're not really sure if they're going to get those 80% rents. I think that's part of it. And again, we are getting 50% of cash flow, so.
Okay, so you feel good about it. Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions. Any other?
You actually covered mine.
Thank okay.
You did.
Great. Okay. Perfect. No other comments or questions, Carol, would you?
Sure.
Certainly. This is Corinne speaking. All those in favor of recommending revised firm approval for tax-exempt financing for Burnham Mills and Woonsocket, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With the unanimous vote, the motion is approved.
Great, thank you. A related item, which is the recommendation for authorization to issue tax-exempt bonds to support the development of Burnham Mills in the amount of $14,500,000. Thank you very much, Eric.
Second.
Thank you very much, Stefan. All right. And Seth, thank you.
This is Seth Fanchi. Obviously, this is connected to the last resolution we just talked about. So the request is for approval of issuance of tax and bonds in an amount not to exceed $14.5 million for a cash collateralized transaction with Bank of America N.A. to fund the construction to permanent financing for Vernon Hills. This is essentially a conduit transaction in the grand scheme of things, what we've seen on some other deals recently in the past few months. Rhode Island Housing will deposit the bonds into a collateral fund for advances made to the borrower by Bank of America. Bank of America will provide a separate construction bridge loan, and all funds will use to collateralize the bond. Loan will then convert to permanent financing upon completion. We've been working alongside bond counsel to draft the documents and the resolutions that were included in the packet, and they are comfortable with the transaction structure as it stands now as well. Permanent loan will be non-recourse to Rhode Island Housing, and Rhode Island Housing will receive a one-time origination fee to go along with the annual servicing fee on the outstanding loan balance. Happy to answer any questions, and Sarah's here as well from the finance side if there's anything.
Great, thank you very much. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Seconded. Any comments about this? A little bit unusual, but not uncommon. So just to clarify, the bonds will be outstanding for about 2-3 years, or is that right?
Yep. This is Caroline Chappelle. That's correct. Just during construction, and then once it converts to permanent, Bank of America, it will be a conduit deal with Bank of America, and they will purchase or the bonds or a funding loan agreement. And will assume all of the legal responsibility.
Oh, so the taxes and bonds will remain outstanding.
That's correct.
It's not a, Okay. Another question I had, or I see that we have a 2% origination fee, and then 1% beyond the $5 million, and then 25 basis points servicing fee. Are there any other additional costs, such as issuer counsel or financial consultant fees? And if so, who pays for those?
I can jump in. Yes, there is a line item. There's all of that, right? And the borrower covers all of that cost.
Okay. Just a commentary. It seems a little pricey to me to have the borrower pay all of that. Is that, I know this has probably been our history, but and they're willing to pay it. That's good for us, but is that appropriate, I guess, that level of fee?
It's something we've always done. In this case, because the conduit structure is a little bit more complicated, our origination fee is a little bit higher than our standard conduit deal, but everything else is the same. Borrowers typically always pay cost of issuance. We only charge them for what that cost of issuance is.
I guess I don't know where it works out to be 2.5 points or something like that. This seems a little bit rushed to me.
Yeah. So this is Kara, and so that is what our traditional origination fee is when Rhode Island Housing is the only lender. And in this case, because it's essentially two different structures, there is much more involved on our end as well as all the other partners. And typically, if it's a conduit, it's usually 1% is our traditional, but because this is almost like two deals in one, we used our the format or formula for our traditional lending platform.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Sarah, Stefan, any? Thank you. Okay.
Of course. This is Corey speaking. All those in favor of recommending the authorization of the issuance of tax-exempt bonds to support the development of Burnham Mills in Woonsocket in the approximate amount of $14,500,000, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Great, thank you. We'll now turn to item number 4, which is recommendation for firm approval of first mortgage financing for Rockville Mill located in Hopkinton.
And I'm going to do this. Our development officer is out today, so I'll take this one.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Ann Berman. So this request for action is for firm approval of a $1 million taxable loan for Rockville Mill. The developer is Marathon Development, LLC. Rockville Mill is located in Hopkinton. The mill actually dates back to the 1850s. The building was converted to its current residential and commercial use back in 2011 using conventional bank financing as well as some home funds. But it was over-leveraged and ended up in receivership. Marathon purchased the property from the receiver in 2020 using CARES Act funding and owner equity. The CARES Act, which stands for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act, was created to, among other things, acquire real property for the immediate purpose of providing supportive housing to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. When Marathon purchased the property out of the receivership, it was vacant. Marathon undertook about $240,000 of repairs on the property to address life safety and deferred maintenance, much of which was self-funded. They also partnered with House of Hope to provide supportive services and COC subsidies to support residents who were able to move into the property fairly quickly in 2020. Recently, Marathon was able to secure a project-based voucher contract, which will replace the COC subsidy and create long-term permanent supportive housing. The commercial lease is with a post office that dates back to 1988 and has been renewed several times since then. The 3 years CARES regulatory agreement expires at the end of 2023, and this refinancing will result in a 40-year regulatory agreement, kind of typical preservation kind of transaction. The underwriting meets all of our requirements. The debt service coverage is healthy, and there are no deviations from our underwriting guidelines. We will insure this with HUD this year. And I just wanted to note that the developer can go to any lender for this loan. They want to work with us because they value the relationship, and having the loan in our portfolio gives us a better opportunity to kind of monitor compliance. So we're seeking approval of a $1 million taxable loan. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Stefan. Any comments? Questions about this one? Seems like I'll jump in. It seems like a great project. I remember, you know, a couple of years ago when we had this one coming up, it seemed like a great candidate for that program, the CARES program. What is the CARES Act dollars that went in? Is that a grant? Is it a loan? Does it have to be repaid? I mean, what's the status of that?
It was a grant. It was a three-year grant, which is only came with a three-year regulatory agreement. We didn't create the program. Right. We just implemented it. I think what's interesting about this is the grant did not cover what it cost him to actually implement and create the program. But at the end of the day, it was a three-year grant with the expectation at the end of 3 years that it be turned into permanent supportive housing or be repaid, in which case he was able to convert it into permanent affordable housing with the project-based voucher contract. He actually applied for some other funding previously and wasn't approved. So he's actually met all of the requirements of the program.
Okay, so now that it's converted to permanent supportive housing by way of the voucher and our funding, then that's just really the last. So we don't even look at that on the capital stack. It's just considered equity in a way.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, that was the purpose of the program, and I did it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Great. I don't have any other comments, questions? All right. Go ahead.
All those in favor of recommending firm approval of first mortgage financing for Rockville Mill in Hopkinton, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With three affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Great. Thank you so much. Now moving on to agenda item number 5, which is recommendation for firm approval of financing for Summer Street Apartments in Providence.
Dean. I'll take
Oh, Dean. Okay.
I'm filling in today, yeah.
All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is Dean Harrison. This request for action is for firm approval of a tax-exempt loan in amount of not to exceed $42 million, of which $10,450,000 will remain as permanent first mortgage, as well as a home loan, CMF loan, DAH funding, and a CRP grant award. The development has received preliminary approval back in May of 2023. The developer is Crossroads. The project recently broke ground in August of 2023 using ARPA funds appropriated by the state. The early work is to focus primarily on site work and environmental remediation. When completed, it will contain 176 furnished one-bedroom units of permanent supportive housing for individuals that are or were formerly homeless. The majority of the tenants will be located from the Broad Street Tower, which contains mostly SRO units now. The new units will allow residents to have their own in-unit kitchens and baths. The relocation of the tenants from the towers will pave the way for rehabilitation and repositioning of the tower, which is unrelated to this transaction. The project will be financed with tax-exempt bonds that are expected to generate almost $38 million of LIHTC equity. The developers reached out to numerous banks and syndicators seeking the best terms possible and have selected Bank of America and NEF for this transaction with LIHTC pricing at 94.08 cents. BOA will also be the initial construction lender, delaying the issuance of the bonds. All 76 units will be available to households at 30% of AMI. The existing McKinney-Vento contract in the tower will be converted into a project-based rental assistance contract through a RAD2 conversion with HUD. The RAD conversion will trigger prevailing wages, which has led to an increase in the overall TDC. A combination of new PBRA contract, 811 vouchers, and project-based vouchers will provide an operating subsidy for all but 8 of the 176 units. Since preliminary approval, overall TDC has increased about $5 million. This is attributable to higher interest rates, higher construction costs as a result of increased prevailing wages, and higher insurance costs. The borrower was able to fill the gap through increased syndication proceeds and a larger permanent loan. The size of the tax-exempt loan has increased since preliminary approval as a result of the higher TDC. The project fails test 2 of the bridge loan test. The construction loan is sized at the minimum level required to meet the IRS requirements that 50% of the project be financed using tax-exempt bonds. However, Rhode Island Housing Bond Loan will not be funded if the project achieves 50% construction to allow BOA an opportunity to participate in the construction finance, thereby minimizing our risk. The project also exceeds the agency guidelines for TDC units per unit. The combination of the requirements to pay for the prevailing construction wages and the increase in interest rates has increased the overall development costs. I'm here to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Dean. I have a motion.
So moved.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. Comments?
We all are obviously very familiar with this project. We've been at ceremonies and helped to see it come to fruition. The timing of just this component happening altogether, really rudimentary point. Can you just explain how this is happening within their process and ours?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Why are we approving this now that construction started?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's a great question because most people don't want to take that kind of construction risk. Because this project had prevailing wages, and the wages kept as they delayed the signing of the construction contract, the prevailing wages kept increasing, which kept increasing the contract. They already took $1.5 million hit, which is reflected in, among other things, the deferred developer fee. So they really needed to lock in the pricing on the prevailing wages, so they started the construction ahead of time. The other piece,
assume risk as a result.
Yes. Yeah. The other piece to it is they wanted to deal with the environmental remediation and something I don't understand, which is the dewatering of the site, prior to the winter so they could get the foundation in and build during the winter months. And apparently the environmental remediation has gone quite well. Site work is underway and it's turned out to be, so far, knock on wood, good for the project.
Those are sound reasons, and essentially what you're saying, boiled down too much, is they took risk, they had to, and we continued our underwriting process and our evaluation process, and it comes through, and that's what they hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Success.
Yes.
Right. They've actually only issued a limited notice to proceed till they get to this point.
Got it. The 50% threshold for realization of the BOA commitment, et cetera, did we choose 50% because it's sensible?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere between 50 and 75%. Yeah. Bank of America would like it to be 75% because they earn more money. We'd like it to be 50% because we'd like to earn some money. And I think it boils down to sort of the timing of the bonds. We try and package several loans together. It's hard to time it exactly to 75% or 50%. So it's part of what Bank of America needed to participate in the loan, and they are paying 95 cents. Per credit, which is very high in this market. So this is something that we're having to accommodate on a number of different transactions.
Very helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right.
Questions? Yeah. Following up on this conversation about the construction already having started, I assume bond counsel's been involved in that and they've signed off on
yes.
Good cost. Okay, and all that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The financing cost of $7 million, getting too much into all the details of that, just being exceedingly high.
You're right.
If you just 6% at $42 million, you're about $2.5 million, so
yeah.
The other,
you know what? The development officer is not here right now. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and look at the pro forma, but we can certainly shoot you an email and let you know what
comprises
that.
Okay. And I guess overall at $84 million, this has to be one of the largest
it's a big deal.
Deals
mm-hmm.
that we financed or been involved in. I know we've looked at it a lot. It's come before the committee and the board a number of times. There are a number of eyes on this development. It's one of the most highest profile in the state. Do we have the sufficient staff in our construction, department? We do. Okay. Not only the people to go out to the site, but those also to be doing the reviewing the draw funding requests. And everything. Okay.
Right. And the Davis-Bacon monitoring.
The Davis-Bacon monitoring, too. Right. Okay.
And if you look at it, this has a capital stack of basically 21 different funding sources.
Right.
And everybody wants a little bit of a fee. You'll wonder why it goes up high.
I know. The compliance on this is going to be something. Okay. It's great to see this moving forward. Okay. Any other comments? Can you please take a break?
All those in favor of recommending firm approval of financing for Summer Street Apartment in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay?
Yeah.
The motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're now on to final agenda item, which is recommendation for approval of Public Housing Authority Program Funding, FAP. Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. PHAP, or PHAP, I think. Oh, no, not clear.
I will be doing this today. Thank you. Good morning again. This is Dean Harrison. I'm here to present the Public Housing Authority Program, PHAP, funded with the SRF funds, providing funding for a pilot program to assist public housing authorities with increasing the supply of affordable housing and stabilizing their existing affordable housing. This fund consisted of three pots of money. We had technical assistance and pre-development funding, along with the production funding. This RA is specific to the production funding awards. Rhode Island Housing issued a request for proposal for the public housing production funds in early June and received three proposals. The proposal was reviewed by staff and then presented to a committee comprised of Rhode Island Housing staff and representatives of the Department of Housing. The RFA, as presented, proposes two awards. However, the committee has approved three awards, and we are requesting that all three projects be recommended for approval. Now I'm going to describe each of the individual projects. The first project is Gallagher Court, and the developer is Pawtucket Housing Authority. The PHA proposes to convert existing office space into two new units, and they will utilize existing budget authority within their ACC budget to provide operating support. The maximum award of the PHAP fund is limited to $150,000 per unit for the development. The PHA requested a higher amount, so they will need to identify another source to complete the capital stack. Staff is recommending $300,000 for Gallagher Court, contingent upon the Pawtucket Housing Authority identifying additional resources to complete the capital stack. The second project is Park Home Phase 5. The developer is Newport Housing Authority. Phase 5 of the Park Home revitalization involves the demolition of 7 distressed buildings with 20 units and the construction of 45 new units in 3 buildings. Completion of Phase 5 will complete Newport Housing Authority's redevelopment of the Park Home and meet the overall one-to-one requirement of 262 units. HACN, the Housing Authority of the City of Newport, is seeking $6.75 million of PHAP funds or $150,000 per unit. This approval is contingent upon future firm approval of the overall transaction. The third project, which is in addition to the current request for action, and if approved, be included in the action for the full board approval, is a rehabilitation of 9 units for the Narragansett Housing Authority as part of a RAD transaction that will convert all 9 units from public housing units to project-based voucher units. This RAD conversion will result in a more sustainable financial model for the Housing Authority. The proposed renovation will include interior and exterior improvements totaling approximately $90,000 per unit. The proposed PHAP award is $118,500 per unit. This award will be contingent upon initiation of the RAD conversion with HUD. And overall, we're recommending 3 awards totaling $8,116,400. I'm happy to answer any questions regarding the program.
Okay, thank you very much, Jane. Motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, Sarah. Any comments or questions?
Yes, please.
Sure, Stefan.
Just a couple reminders first, and then I think questions, especially about the Pawtucket. First, how much total funding are we working against in this round?
The total funding award for all 3 components of the program is $10 million.
And how much are we committing today? Forgive me, I know this is in the materials. But
yes, not a problem. $8,116,400.
Some dollars to spare, which is not to be frittered away, but just I'm seeing that and you're saying it, so it's very helpful. On Pawtucket, they're running up against the $150,000 per unit cap. Did we express that I'm not sure I can draw any conclusion here, just asking factually. Did we express that as a hard cap in our solicitation, or did we say we would make exceptions?
In the current program guys, $150,000 is the cap.
Okay. I thought I vaguely recalled that we would use that as guidance, but that we might get projects done, because I know that there's high interest in the General Assembly in getting projects done, and public housing is of great interest. But let me leave that to one side for a moment. Who do we expect the PHA, the Pawtucket Housing Authority, to go seek for these other resources that were contingent, that our action is contingent upon? Just guessing.
I would expect, this is Ann, they may allocate a small amount of PHA funds, but I expect they'll come in the next round and request funding.
Ah.
Or they could go to the city.
Yeah.
And seek funding for the city. They've been very successful working with the city. Okay.
Got it. I'm not connected to this project. I don't in some way especially favor it. I've seen, so don't get me wrong, but I am wondering whether should we simply do this and let them come into the next round and negotiate with the city, or should we find some way to give ourselves authority, illustratively to the two of you, to negotiate, to work out a new package to bring back to us? That feels unorthodox. I know we don't ordinarily do that. What I'm saying is there's money to spare. There's a project that should happen. You've judged that. I haven't gotten inside this project. It sounds right to me. I'm affirming your judgment. It seems to me it's totally understandable that we have another round and all the rest, months would go by. But I just wonder whether we could say to ourselves, let's go to the city. Let's see if they can meet us halfway. If this meets the merits and you all judge it, you can bring it back to this committee. We might fast track it without a new process. Would that be violative of our solicitation, or could we give ourselves that authority? And do you even want it?
Yeah, I don't know what's written within the guidelines, so we'd have to go back and look at that. So let us do that.
Sure.
And then just come back to you and let you know
Absolutely. Whether
or not it looks as though it's something we can do. And if so, we can modify this action before it comes before the board.
Fine with me. I'm asking because I just wanted to explore
sure.
it to my two colleagues. Does that sound like a reasonable course of action? Please feel free to amend. It feels good to me. And we certainly, let me also add this friendly amendment. If it generates anxiety for you or you advise against it after you look, we're just trying to see if we can keep it moving.
I will say that assuming as this proposed with the 8.1 plus the previous allocations to pre-development and technical assistance, there's approximately $280,000 of PHA funds left, which is not a huge amount of money. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so to date, total awards to date is $9,716,400 to the U.S.
Assuming today's
these get approved.
It would be hard to use the $280,000, so it might be a good use to help them out.
Exactly.
If we do it with
I think that gives you some flexibility to negotiate, because they aren't proposing to put any of their own resources into this as it is right now, as Newport is proposing to do.
So we should have that process. Agreed.
Yeah.
Go back.
Great. The question I had was, so you mentioned, Dean, this $10 million is to go into three pots, I guess, the technical assistance, pre-development, and then housing production.
Yes.
These are two established PHAs. They've done a fair amount of development, and they're using the dollars for production. When we first rolled this money out, I thought a primary component was really more to try to give technical assistance to some other housing authorities and maybe some pre-development funds to kick projects into gear.
And that's happening.
It is happening.
It is happening. Of TA, we've awarded $350,000 to various housing agencies, including Coventry Housing Agency, Coventry Housing Authority. I don't have the full list
here. So seven awards.
Seven awards.
Of $50,000 of patient technical assistance.
Yep. And then we also awarded pre-development money an amount of $1,250,000
housing authorities. Some got technical assistance and pre-development.
Why don't we get you a report for the board meeting so you can see exactly what's been funded and what the agency has done?
Yeah,
there's some great proposals. South Kingstone has a very aggressive proposal. Coventry has an interesting one. So, but again, it's very early. They were not ready to meet the requirements of the production, which is, you know, when it's got to be committed and spent within the requirements of the requirements. Mm-hmm.
And how many housing authorities are there in our
state?
We have 20.
What's 33 might mean?
jurisdictions under us. I don't know. I don't know, 19? Does that
something
make sense?
Like that.
Yeah, 19, I believe.
19 in total.
And 20 with us. 20 communities under our umbrella.
I see. Okay. So, but so outside of our us, there's the 19. Okay.
Yeah. Not all doing development activity. Coventry was out early. Newport certainly out very early. Newport Heights was a massive development.
Yeah. Providence has got we gave an award to Providence. They're doing some stuff. So, you know, everybody's kind of looking at their portfolio and doing different things. And, I mean, I think that the Narragansett Housing Authority is going to do the little RAD, I think, is in the long run. I mean, it will be a lift for them, but once they get there, it's really going to make them a more sustainable organization.
That's great. And I was very pleased to see that Pawtucket's using the Fair Quality Amendment.
Yes.
That's kind of an untapped
it is.
Resource, at least if the rents are high enough.
They also got a redevelopment loan in the same development. There's a whole building that was mothballed, and they're trying to figure out how to bring 44 units back online.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Newport has a lot of units under their profit. Is that right?
Some.
Okay.
Have some. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Comments or questions about this one?
Just a related point. Carol, I feel like sharing with the board or reminding the board that the General Assembly authorized these funds, correct me on this, by the way, authorized these funds two sessions ago. Last session, they amended the authority to pursue out of the PHA funding publicly driven development, for lack of better terminology. So they amended it modestly, the language that authorized this funding, the $10 million, and in so doing, as a sidebar, said to us, please do a feasibility study of efforts such as those undertaken in Montgomery County, Maryland, around, in a sense, the next generation of public housing development, not necessarily through public housing authorities. So we have issued a solicitation for a feasibility study, and under Carol, with a committee, we'll select in accordance with that. That was all General Assembly initiative, and we'll tap these funds for modest money to carry out the study. Am I getting all that reasonably right?
Yes.
Just wanted to share that out to understand some of the use of these funds.
That's great. I think that'll help them perhaps even move more in the direction of being active developers and owning for long-term this housing.
I think it's inevitable with public housing authorities. Mm-hmm. You have to take some action.
It's available.
Yeah.
We do have some public housing public housing authorities using a spinning off nonprofits, and they are working on their own special projects. Mm-hmm. We expect to see a few this upcoming round.
Good.
Which is another way of getting work done.
Good. In the 9% round, you're talking?
Yes.
Good. Did we take a vote on this one?
Not yet.
Corinne, would you please take a vote?
Happy to. All those in favor of recommending approval of Public Housing Authority Program funding awards as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
I have to say this before we do. As presented to this meeting includes that authority to negotiate. Right?
Yes, I'm comfortable with that. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Should, Would you like me to restate it, or you feel comfortable?
However you see fit.
Okay. All those in favor of recommending approval of Public Housing Authority Program funding awards as presented at this meeting with authority to continue negotiations, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With three affirmative votes, motion is approved.
Thank you so much. That concludes our agenda. We have a final discussion item, which is our normal pipeline report. Anne, would you?
Sure. Happy to. So we're not, you know, I feel like a broken record. We're still working on those deals then.
sometime.
Yeah. But I'm happy to say that I think we're making progress, and I know that a couple of our developers would like to get to the December board meeting, but I think staff thinks they're probably more likely to go to January or maybe February, because we want to make sure that once they close, there is a path to closing and there are no open items. So that, I think, is good news. I do think that there are a couple of projects that likely will have some funding gaps, most notably because of the rise in interest rates, right? So they applied for funding last December, right? Interest rates have gone up 200 basis points. So they can't necessarily value engineer that out of their developments. Construction costs continue to be a challenge, particularly around the electrical equipment and long lead items, and that drags out the time it takes construction to happen. So we expect that there will be a small number, I don't know how many yet, that are likely to come back in the next funding round that we're hoping to issue in the next couple of weeks, for, you know, enough to kind of get them to a full capital stack so that they can get to closing. We are thinking that for that small handful of deals, we might try and get those approved, reviewed and approved ahead of time so that we can get them closed within that 12-month window. So that's kind of the big picture of the pipeline. We continue to sort of vet new deals. Boy, Dean and I talk to new developers, old developers, a couple of weeks on a variety of projects, some for extremely low income, mm-hmm. some more middle income. So that's kind of good news. The only other thing I would say is that some of you may know that POA, which has a couple of deals in our pipeline for preliminary, received GRRP grants, which stands for Green, Resilient, and Retrofit Program, funded through the Inflation Reduction Act, received more than $10 million for the two deals that we're working on for firm commitments. So that's really going to jumpstart their energy efficiency. So staff is working to try and figure out how to get all that into the scope of work. It does trigger Davis-Bacon, so costs will be a little higher than I think we would necessarily anticipate on a preservation deal, but I think at the end of the day, it's very explainable. So we're hoping to bring those to the board in the next couple of months. So all good stuff. Staff is super busy. We're down one development officer, so folks are working really hard, and happy to answer any questions.
The only thing I'll add is I received an update from Tony Yvonne on the UTIL work being done on the design guidelines, and we are on track for delivery of a final set of design guidelines in December.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots of stakeholder
engagement.
One thing that's come up recently has been a conversation with folks at BHDDH around handicapped accessibility and the units that we're developing. I think it's at one of the HRC meetings, I'm sure, as well. So I had a call with folks yesterday, and we may be back to the board to discuss funding design guidelines for retrofits and for new construction accessibility guidelines for units. So
sounds like a very good idea.
I think think it makes sense. I think it's being discussed more and more, and, you know, we're not building large 202 developments. We don't have those resources any longer, and from what I hear, it's a huge need. So we made the recommendation.
Well, you'd think it would be black and white. That is so...
It's a challenge.
As to what to do there. So if we can offer clear guidance, I think that would be very helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And being able to retrofit what we have, what's achievable given the limitations
right.
of existing units? What can we do to make them more accessible?
Right. And the developer handbook, was that just ICE too?
Yeah. So we update that. This is Ann Berman. We update that every year. Now that we're pretty much through the program guidelines for the new programs that the Secretary is implementing, wrapped that up, gotten it posted. The pro forma's been updated and modified and interfaces well with our new crawling system. So I think we're ready to go once we get final sign-off on from the state.
Good. Other questions? Thank you very much for all of these reports and all of this work. It's great to see all this progress. I don't think we have anything else, so motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that one.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
The opposed say nay. The motion is unanimous and approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jay, you can stop the trap.